Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God. Tonight's that night that we just believe that God is in the process of speaking to us inwardly and outwardly. What God is doing for us and through us, He's bringing us to a place called there. And at that place called there, there He speaks to us. There He massages us. He brings us to a place where He can say, "You are my son, and I love you. You are what I have done for you. You are the one that I know that I know." And so as we move forward in what God is doing with us, there are a lot of people that are listening to see what's going on in our lives. I want to talk to you because I'm waiting for the teacher to come on, Dr. Brenda Lipscomb. But for such a time, I want to take you to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th and the 20th verse. And I have a statement I just want to make. It is ours to enjoy the blessings of heaven and earth. Is it? Yes, it is. Why? Because God has did what He says going to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when I look at what faith has said to us, faith produces. It produces us a standard. It produces us an attitude that's positive. It produces us the understanding of the spiritual gifts, leadership, administration, knowledge, etc., all the way down. But when we discover what God is saying to us, the more we can sit back and say, "Yes, Lord." Faith produces the things that God has in me. When you turn your Bible to the book of Romans, and you see what He's saying in the book of Romans, and in Romans, the words are so, I tell you, the words are so, I mean, it just take it to another level. But when you read Romans chapter 2, verse 5, I'm in no rush. I'm in a teaching mode right now. Huh? Romans chapter 2, 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 2. When God began to speak to all of us, He said, "Though whom we have all access by faith through this grace into which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in the hope of God. See, what God has done for us, He has been there for us. So when faith produces grace, grace and faith walk hand in hand. And we rejoice because we say, "I'm on your team too. I am on your team." What is being justified by faith, we have many reasons to rejoice. Look at verses 1 in chapter 5. The reality of God's supernatural love is being poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, the devil can't do that. The devil can't do that. He wants people to believe he can do that. He ain't but a slew-foot bastard. That's all he is. And that he don't walk right, he don't talk right. He doesn't have a father. He don't believe. So he is a bastard. But I get closer to what I want to say to you. Though peace with God gives us right to stand, give us some supernatural privileges, gives us a format to stand firm what God is doing for us. It gives us a standard to stand. We confidently look forward to becoming all that He wants us to be. See, God has made a plan, and He's called us to that plan. And because of that plan, God is still there for us. He says us, We got to be justified. We should be full of rejoicing because faith produces all of this. Peace with God gives us the right to stand. You can stand when you can't stand with nobody else. And see, what I've come to understand in this life I now live, the more I take God at his word, the more God's word invokes me. And when it fills me with that joy, give me with that understanding, give me with that knowledge, give me that he becomes a peacemaker in my fullness. He comes to us and say to me, he said, but I will stand with you because you're in my son, Yeshua HaMashiach. You're in my son. If you're in my son is in me, so therefore you're in me. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said to the Father in the 17th chapter of John, he said, Father, he says, this is I'm in you. I want them to be in you. He let us come to him. See, we have a right of privilege. We don't have to write and go fuss and fight, but we know him because he wants to be with us. Why does God want to be with us? Why do you want to be with me, God? That's a question the person ought to ask. Because God wants to be with you because he loves you. He loves me. The things that he did for us. He said the wholeness of the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. He gave us everything. He named all the animals, named all the water, the mountains, the seas, the rivers. But he gave it all to us to watch over. All we got to do is be obedient. But today in the life we now live in, there are a lot of disobedience that are going on in the body of Christ. Paul had to come to the Apostle Peter and said, no, Peter, I got to bring you because it's a privilege that we have. And if you have that privilege, don't go stirring it up. Don't go, be at peace. We got to understand who the author of our faith is. It's not the pastor. It's not the fivefold ministry. It's not a prophet, a prophetess, evangelist, evangelist. It's Jesus Christ. He's the author. The author is the penmanship. When he writes something down and puts his signature, is I, Jesus Christ, signed by me, dot, dot, dot. Here's what I want you to understand. Knowing the author and finish of our faith, we have joy and peace. See, at midnight when Paul and Silas prayed and sang prayers in Acts 16:25, he was in jail. Now, I know people in jail now say, well, I don't know I'm in jail. No, you got to look at the context of what's going on. What God is using the Apostle Paul to let us know. God is on our side. But the Apostle Paul, brought something. When Paul and his, I said when it was a traveling evangelist, when they were traveling apostles, when they were traveling pastors, they were traveling teachers, they got put in jail because they called out a woman who was involved in witch. A devastation spirit. See, you got to know who you are. In other words, to enjoy these blessings of heaven, you got to fight your fight of faith. What God is doing, God will do it. When they sing, they begin a song, if I may say, today is the day that I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, no matter what nobody say. I'm going to trust in God, even though they got me in jail, even though they put us down here. We're going to praise God. We're going to lift up our holy hands and say, hallelujah, We're going to praise God and praise his holy name. No matter what happens, they begin to sing. They begin to sing and praise God, and the supernatural anointing began to come in upon them. Something began to happen while they were there because faith began to do something. Faith produces an unlocked door. While they was in there, they began to just pray and call on God and trust in God and believing in God. God's love poured into our hearts. And the love that God has poured into our hearts bring us to a reality, me to a reality, that I have joy, that I have peace, have understanding. But can you imagine that I said, being in jail? Why doing no wrong? Why they want to put me in jail? Well, don't put you in jail because they don't like you, man. That they want to do. The devil has us. You got to be careful now. Every day we live, the devil is always there to come in and put something in your way. It's either somebody you know, somebody you love, somebody you trust, somebody. Because they're not walking the same walk you're walking. As I put on Facebook, the ouch, ouch. I heard that voice when it said that. But I was walking through the valley with holy feet. And because the devil couldn't touch me, he was saying, ouch. Every time I try to reach out and touch all those sons and daughters of God, I can't touch them because we have been purchased with a price. The price has been paid for us. The price is nobody. We were ransomed. Jesus paid a reward. As another man said to me once, that a man said he passed by the man who had been buried in the cage and said to the man, the man said, I want to buy them birds from you. The man said, what you want to do with them? He said, I want to feed them. I want to set them free. I want them to have liberty. And the other man said, spiritually speaking, no, I tell you what I'll do. We can make a pact. I'll give them to you free of charge. You can do anything you want to them, but you can't touch them bad. So he released them. What the point of contact is this. Sometimes we are put in a position where God has to come and he don't bargain. He comes to say, listen, I paid the price for that one. He got to come out of that. And the devil won't stretch this. Well, you know, Jesus said, no, I paid the price for him. Let him go. I paid the price for it. Let her go. But you know they're going to run back doing the same thing. They ain't been talking about no faith, walking by faith. Who's that talking about? It's two talking like that there. But it's all of a sudden, God's spirit began to move. Our faith being tested, purified, bring praise and glory and honor. It rebounds, it recalls, it give us the supernatural results and give us a supernatural overflow. It gives us a spiritual arisement that's inside of us. It's like the when they put when they fix in that bread and they put some yeast, the yeast of God's word is rising up in me. Why is it rising up? Because I know what God has done for me. God has said something. He said, for now it was written for his sake only. But it was imparted to us. When I take the word and see what Paul said and write and what God was saying, love is agape. Agape. When you belong to God, to teach his word, to know his love, was agape, philo. And there's three words to seek the highest good. And so when we love in spite of, we love. Some people don't understand it because they're still in the binds of the darkness. They were in the place called there. I want to do it my way. There. They're not saying the way I want to be said. There. I'm having my fun. There. I'm doing like I want to do it. There. But all of a sudden, a faith factor comes in. And let me tell you something. Satan's going to test you. See, but you got to have the confidence and boldness. Confidence. Confide. Confide in what God said. Take him at his word. His word is pure. His word is true. We have to take him at his word. Have we ever seen him? No. But we try to take him at his word. Can you believe him at his word? Yes. Well, something's going on all around me. I see some things happen, but I really don't understand them. Who done all of this but God did? Because I have faith. A God I've never seen, I'm going to trust in him. A God I've never saw, I'm going to trust in him. I've heard his, when the sun began to beam down on earth, I felt the presence of God's creation, the heat. When I heard the thundering of the like it was God's voice, God was speaking, as my elder would say, go get in that corner because it's thundering. God is speaking. But they never tell what God was speaking about. Could it be that God and the devil were arguing about the same? Ooh, Jesus. Could it be that the devil and God were in an argument? And God was saying, you in the land that belongs to my children, get out. And the voice of God began to roar and thunder. That's a sidebar. That's a nugget. Sometimes I don't teach it the way people want to teach it. I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. To show me my shortcomings, to show me my longcomings, to show me what I must do in this time I now live in, to teach me to love in spite of. When I take a notice of the agape love, when I look at what God His Son did on the inside of me versus what's on the outside of me, the inside of me is more prosperous. Because I know that one of these days this body of flesh is going to deteriorate. But in the meantime, that spiritual part of me is going to live with God for eternity. Sometimes, we just need to sit down and ask God, I'm free. I'm free to praise you. I'm free to worship you. I'm free to adore you. I'm free to call on your name. If I stand up crying, I'm still free. I'm free. Here's what I would have us to know. When we are justified, faith triumphs in the midst of troubles. The longer we tell us to give God his word, God take us to a point. When we see Romans 5 and 8, let's go there right quick and look at something. It seemed perfectly natural for us to be nice, to do nice things for people who are nice to us. Likewise, it's natural for us to do nothing for those who do nothing for us. But thanks, here's the key word, but thank God, for he himself is bigger than we are. He sent his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, to be a payment, a ransom, pay the reward. Sins, even though we are still sinners, even though, and his will for our lives. Christ came for all the people, not just one person. He came for everybody. So nobody can stand up and say, I met a man once who said, well, you know, they ain't doing nothing at the church. I said, won't you go at the church and start to do something? I never thought of like that. But you got to be one who stands in the, if you're nothing but a doorkeeper, an usher, you just stand in that door and do your job. If you're going to be in the pulpit, do your job. If you're going to be the evangelist, do your job. See, a lot of the churches nowadays, I'm not being sarcastic, but the Bible says the fivefold ministry is a part of the church. It is in the church. God has made it so possible. See, when you look at what Paul, the first man that sinned big time, his name was Adam. And Adam sinned big time. He did something he was not supposed to do because God had made it so. He talked to God, made it possible, and as God began to talk to him, gave him understanding. We cannot be assured of our gladness, welcome, when we enter his presence. For he purposed it this way. When I take it to the book of Ephesians 3:11-12, you read it. Strength, inner faith blossom, abundantly, more than we think. I'm going to stop right now and thank God, and I want to praise him and love him. Hello, how are you doing? Hello? Hello? I have somebody on the line now, and I don't know, I don't recognize that number, but at any rate, one of the things, the potter, our comfort is in the potter. We are the clay in his hand, Isaiah 29. But by the offering that Jesus Christ made for us, he perfected it forever. Those who are being made holy, having therefore the boldness, a weakling can't walk with me, I say with love, because you're going to slow me down. How are you going to slow me down? Because I don't have time to stop here and there because I'm on a direct thing that God has assigned me to do. All he wants us to do is to follow his lead. A lot of people want to follow the lead. They don't want to be led. Wives don't like to be led. Husbands don't like to be led by the Holy Father, Son. See, that's a big mix-up, a big confusion. Some people can't understand it. Some people try to, but, well, you know, I didn't see it all like that. I'm just still trying to make it. But God has it so that we can just come before him. The more we come before God and say to him. So I take it to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. I have to share this with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Take your time and get there. I ain't in no rush. I got all the time until the Lord called us all home. Ephesians chapter 3. I got one of these Bibles up that I love reading. It's called the Student Bible. There's a lot of understanding there as I read it. In the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, let's get there right quick. Ephesians, here we go. The 5th chapter, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3. If I'm slow, pray for me. 3:11. When God began to speak through his servant, the Apostle Paul, The Apostle Paul broke it down in this manner. He said these words in 3:11. 3:11. He says these words. Yes, I'm slow. According to the eternal purpose which he had accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the boldness and access with confidence through him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at the tribulations that we're going through, for God will get the glory. God will get the glory. Remember what I said. Faith produces. Now, you can put every code out there you want. Faith does produce grace. Grace produces what? It goes on down and out. What God has done for us. As far as we know, 2,000 years ago, there came a man named Jesus Christ. Prophesied about he was coming in the book of Genesis. Prophesied he's going to come. There's coming one who's going to take all the sin away. But the devil didn't know. But God was standing right there and said, I got a plan, but I won't tell him what that plan is. I'm going to do it right before his face. That's why I let God. See, God ain't got to hide. He did it openly. He sent him openly, sent Jesus Christ openly. When I say openly, he said he's going to start him out in the Egypt, starting him out there. That all are being talked about him. That all been talked about the one who is to come. That it all been talked about the one that's going to do what this is going to do. All of a sudden, something began to happen. There was a day and a time when the angel came and appeared to the lady. One came to one named Elizabeth and told her, 6 months from now, there's a son going to be born. His name is John. 6 months later, that came up, and he said, you're going to have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Ooh, Yeshua. You shall call his name Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. And all of a sudden, he came, went through the Bar Mitzvah for 12 years, 18 years. Nobody knew where he was. On the 30th year, he stood up and began to preach. He said, this day, after John began to preach the gospel, see, he began to preach it and teach it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, God's son from sent all the way from heaven to let it be known. Wow, man, time gets away. But I want to finish out and say this to you. Remember, faith produces grace. We stand and have our privileges spiritually. We look confidently to becoming all he wants us to be. If people say, well, you know, I'm sick. I'm not sick. My body might be sick, but I got to prepare it by doing what God told me to do. One day I'm going to get sick. I want to let you know this night, I love you, and I thank God for you. My time is up, and I just love you. Father, I bless you tonight. I thank you for those who listen to me and those who are praying for me. Tonight's the night, Father, we just say hallelujah, and we praise you and love you. Now, Father, we just said thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Hello, it's Prophetess. Is the prophetess there? Prophetess? Hello?
Hello.
Prophetess, how you doing?
I am blessed, and how are you?
I'm blessed in your voice. I feel like I'm a winner. Now, I know that that young lady that's supposed to be on you, is she on the line?
I don't know. Her name is Melinda Minkins.
Okay, let me see. I got three lines. Melinda Meekins.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay,
she's online.
Okay, let me ask this. I called out the last four of your phone number. Are you 0492?
Yep. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, you got it. All right, then.
Huh? Okay.
You got the program. Go.
Amen. We're going to pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for opening doors that need to be shut and shutting the ones that need to be shut, oh God. We just thank you for your mercy and your grace and your meekness and your kindness and your patience, oh God. And we just thank you, Father God, for blessing this line, blessing Dr. Hunter, blessing Melinda Meekins, or whoever is on this line, Father God. I ask you to give us a word, Father God, and just use us, Father God. We thank you and give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, oh God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking about three or four topics, but this one here just stood out. Generational curses. Generational curses. You know, I hear people speaking about different things, but generational curses, yes, it's a must, because people have questions and they ask questions, you know, like about generational curses being passed on to from their fathers. And I've come to learn one thing. Wait, just a minute. I'm ready for it to load up. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. The answer is in Ezekiel 18. It says, make it clear that God holds each individual responsible for his or her own sin. They was asking, well, can sins be passed on? Some, I'm not sure, but I hear people, you have to be careful what you speak, because whatever come out your mouth, because even though, you know, daddy smoke or mama smoke, some children don't smoke, but if they decide to do it, that's them, because they're adults. I mean, you know, if anybody have any input on it, hello?
Well, when it comes down to generational curse, let me ask you this. I know that's demons jumping from generation to generation to generation. But as an individual, do you have to denounce that off yourself individually?
Yes. Yes. And you know what?
Uh-huh.
I also, from the third and the fourth generations, you know, like my grandfather that lived in Louisiana, it was a lot of witchcraft and stuff like that. People pray, you know, you have to be careful. People, in other words, whatever come out your mouth, you may speak sickness. Okay, grandfather had high blood pressure. I don't have high blood pressure. I used to hear my mother say, whatever heart attacks, blood pressure problems, whatever, she said, if you stop now, in Jesus' name. And she kept praying that for many years. I didn't understand it, but I understand it now. I don't have blood pressure problems. My mother didn't have blood pressure problems, but my uncles and my aunts did. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, generational curses, then that means it has a lot of entities, such as sickness, alcoholism,
yes.
People that's even on drugs, or people that know nothing better to do but to dibble and dabble in witchcraft, because a lot of people that dibble and dabble in witchcraft think there's nothing wrong with that, not knowing that they're either A, don't care, or B, straddling the fence.
That's right. And a lot of times, people in general, I mean, it's because you don't know. Some people think everything is okay, but you see, when you're seeking God and asking him for clarification on a lot of things, and then you hear this years later, and you was like, well, I didn't know. You know, you have to ask God for, you have to repent for a lot of things, because you didn't know. You didn't know.
Well, I believe God will bless our ignorance. Because,
oh,
like you
course,
said, you
yes.
didn't know. So he blessed the ignorance. But I think that a lot of times, you know, like some God spoke the world into existence. and we are made after him. So therefore, what we speak, that's why it's so prevalent, because we're able to do just what God did. That's the reason why when people say things, you need to know how to snatch it out of the atmosphere. You need to know how to cast it, break
Come
it
on.
Off of you, cast
Come
it
on.
Down off of you. You know, you have to do these things on a daily basis. Even when you're doing your self-examination, you have to do that. Oh, well, Lord, you know, I smoke cigarettes. I break that demon of smoking off of me in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
So on and so forth. And, you know, I could tell you some of the things that I pray for, but if we don't, people have a habit of saying, misery likes company. They don't know how real that is. But then people also say something like, just keep on living. You're going to hurt just like I hurt. Well, they speaking that on you. Because, see, we have to be
life
careful about.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Right.
Life
we have to be careful
life
about.
Life and death is
what,
in the power
what,
of the tongue. That's right. That's right.
That's it. And so we have to be careful about what we say and what other people say on us, because we can curse ourselves, and people could curse us, and we just not aware of that fact because, you know, it'll be done in the old, you know, misery likes company. You know, if it rains, if I tell you, if it when it rains, it pours. You know, people say stuff like that, and those are tricks enemy to get us to say that so that we will stay in bondage, unbeware, unknowing. You know
Amen.
What I mean?
Amen. And that is so true. And sometimes you could be in bondage and not understand, don't know. That's because you don't know. And that's why a lot of times, like I talk to my children, my children and my grandchildren, I tell them, I say, when you pray, you ask God that you hear him and that not of a stranger. I say, and pray without ceasing. I say, it may seem hard, I say, but it's nothing too hard for God. I say, you have to keep your mind saying, you know, these kids young days, I mean, the young kids nowadays, it's just so much out there, and it's such a heaviness in the atmosphere. You have to just pray. And it's not that we staying away from people or we being judgmental about anything. It's just that we be in prayer all the time, even though we keep, you know, fellowship and whatever, but we in prayer constantly because it's just so much out there, and generational curses. Whew. All I can say is, Lord,
well, see,
you know, go ahead.
That's another good reason why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because see, we are set apart, number one. And we have to pray without ceasing. And with the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, then that'll help us to pray without ceasing. Because
That's
I
it.
Look at it this way. This is my personal way. I like to eat. God in heaven knows I like to eat. And I'm going to do just that. Man, put some fried chicken and collard greens in front of me. I'm going to eat them. But I have, like I feed my flesh, I have to feed my spirit, man. And
that's
in
right.
order to do that is to stay in that word. And that's the only way.
That's
and
right.
we can't just listen at a gospel tune, maybe sing a song, you know, and think that's it. You got to
no.
get in that word. I could anoint you till the cows come home. I could sing with my anointed voice or my off-key voice till the cows come home. If I'm not getting that word, generational curse and nothing else can be broken off of me because I got to know the word. You can't
That's
pray
it.
Unless you know the word. You can't pray unless
That's
you
it.
Know the word. And so that generational curse, because our foreparents, our forefathers and mothers, they say things out of ignorance and out of that they may, you know, especially if you got a lot of parents and stuff that is in the South, they dealt with witchcraft. My mother was
yes.
raised in my mama was born and raised on the Indian reservation, so guess what that meant? Yeah, so that's why I think it's an individual thing that you break off. That's why I was asking the question, is that an individual thing? Because the walk with God is all individual. You're only going to get as far with God as you let yourself get with God. And some people, they be like, I think I can. And then they just, they're all out of steam. and they don't build themselves up. They don't read. They don't pray in the spirit.
And in
order for them to be able to, you know, to continue on with that strength, you got to. And I like the thing about the praying. I'm sorry, I'm just talking my butt off. Go ahead,
No, but I'm going to say this, and then you can say what you want to say. But I've also had to understand that God judges the heart of each individual. In both Old and in both Old and New Testament, we see God, how God, like in Genesis, about Cain and Abel. He treated them different because he already knew one was, you know, of God and one wasn't of God, you know. So, again, that's generational curses. And people asking, do you think Adam and Eve caused that? What do you think about that?
I think that as far as dilemma situations and whatever we find ourselves in, it was because Eve... It might be partially because Eve allowed the serpent to beguile her, but the same trick that the devil used to fool Eve, he's still doing it right now to this day. He has the same old trick, the same old saying, the same old this, that, and the other. He hasn't changed anything. Now, what we should do as people is rather it begin with Eve, Adam and Eve, or if it ends with Adam and Eve, we got to get ourselves adjusted in there. And again, we got to have the anointing of God living on our life. And the only way that that can happen is to stay in that word. If you don't read that word, you can't achieve much or nothing. You got to know the word in order to pray. And if you're going to pray and you're going to let the Holy Ghost pray through your mouth, you know you're going to pray the word.
Amen.
You know you're going to pray the word, and you know that's where your strength comes from. I could tell you all day long, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me if I don't believe it. Because, see, I also believe that it's a difference between believing it in your mind and believing it in your heart. Because, see, God said our hearts ain't good. None of us got a good heart, no, not one. But one of my prayers is, God, I need your word to penetrate my conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind and let it become a hammer that knocketh and breaketh away the iniquity of my heart.
Come on.
Now, if I allow God to do that for me and individually, this is me, this is my walk, then I can't help but have the word of God living on the inside of me, and I can walk that walk and talk that talk. Because we have to set ourselves apart, because the world is watching us.
Yes.
And you got people out there in the world that are devils, but you got people out there in the world that is hungry. And if they see me going to the club tonight, drop it like it's hot, and then get up in the morning, and I know when to say, when to interject, hallelujah, praise you, oh, bless you, God, and I smell like a distill, why would I, how can I encourage you to come follow me? For what? I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I just know when to say hallelujah and praise God.
That's it.
And
you never know.
That's the thing that I want people to understand, because you don't know who's watching you.
That's it, right there.
You don't know who's watching you.
You don't know who's watching you.
Mm-mm.
And they see you, and that speaks volume. You don't have to really say nothing. They can see. If you can see it, you can believe it.
They see the new man.
And don't be out there like some people do. Don't be out there in the church world. You are fellowshipping with your people. Hallelujah. Ooh, child, I am blessed. I am too blessed to be stressed. You say all the cliches and then get behind closed door, and you are a totally different person, because you are with who? Your real father.
Okay.
Because that's who dominates you. Because, you know, the devil go to church just as faithfully as some members do. They sit right next to you and get you. Why?
Because
you ain't where you supposed to be. You ain't where you supposed to be. And don't come across the pulpit and say you're going to say this and you're going to say that, and you ain't got no word in you. You can't do that.
That's it.
But people do
it. You can't do that.
People do it. And those people's souls are what's going to be, that's going to be the blood on your hand. So either
conviction.
You get
that's
right.
That's conviction. That's right.
I don't know if it be, I don't know how many people have conviction, because you got a bunch of pastors and ministers and everybody from the fivefold ministry, and they one way in the public, and they somewhere else behind closed doors. The
That's
point
true.
Is, you got to believe God. You got to worship God in truth and in spirit. If you cannot do that, it's no sense in you calling yourself with anybody's title. You can't.
That's it.
You can't, because you lying to yourself, which means you don't do no self evaluation. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to everybody else. So how are you going to you deceiving everybody else, and you deceiving yourself? Where do that put you?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Where do it put you? So it's more than a notion, and you have to really, 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 no matter what, you have to really want God. And I always make a
That's
joke,
it.
You know, I want God like I want that chocolate cake. Everybody know I love chocolate. I need God. I need Jesus. I need Jesus like a hog needs flock. I need Jesus. I need to breathe him. Different journeys that we go through, and everything in life is a journey. If
That's
you
it.
Cannot give God the glory in your life, then how did you think you passed that journey? Is you going to go back again through that same journey? Or did you learn? Because if everything is a lesson, and
it's
to God
lesson.
Be the glory, it's a blessing.
Amen.
That's it. That's
it.
That's what we got to do. And people don't understand that. People don't really, because people say with their mouth they want God, but with their heart it's like, I can't do that. I ain't going to be able to do that. That's too hard.
And you see, God knows our heart. I don't care what we do. You can dress it up and try to hide. You can run, but you can't hide. But God knows your heart. God knows. You may be in the public with, you know, acting like something else, but God knows your heart. You know, and every test is a lesson. And people be saying, well, I don't know. I keep going through the same thing. Well, you have not passed that test yet.
Exactly.
You
have not I believe
that.
That
test yet. Anybody else have anything to say? Hello?
Good evening.
I'm going to talk everybody off. Oh, my God. I talk too much.
No. Good evening.
Go ahead, ma'am. I heard you say good
evening.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good. How
I'm
you
sorry.
Doing?
I didn't give you a chance to say word edgewise, huh?
That's all right. I enjoyed the presentation on this evening.
Hello.
You know.
Hello.
How
are well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
How you doing? This is Apostle Caldwell, my sister-in-law Melinda Meekins, and also Dr. Hunter. Anybody else online?
Okay. I don't think Dr. Hunter on there.
Oh, yeah, he's still on there. Dr. Hunter? Okay, he must
yes, what's your name for me?
You have anything you have to say?
I know it's been a blessing hearing what y'all are saying, but I just said, as I always say, I use it as a person out there program, but when I go and read the B-I-B-L-E and I say this, this is just me now, and I love the Lord with all my heart. But God has done for us. We go to the Old Testament. We look at all the laws that were set out. But Jesus took the law, he put them on the cross. He took all of the things that were done with animals, he put it on the cross. So he takes us to the book of Galatians chapter 3, I think in one of the verses, says, and the curses that were all the curses were put upon Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm.
so when I listened, and I heard one of the sisters, I don't remember her name, but she said, it's an individual thing. It is an individual thing. It's you making a choice. See, a lot of people are still under the curses because they don't know Jesus Christ. And they.
That's true, man.
And then so I mean, I just want to say I thank God for what I was saying, but what's happening in Europe? What's happening in Europe? See, you got to see it from, got to see it from inside. It's like, I wonder. Okay, somebody's on the line. Can you
I'm
close?
Here. No, somebody cut their television down. I can hear the television is loud.
No, I do this, yeah.
Okay.
Boom. See? That's how you do that. See, but you got to see the day and night. On the inside of us, as it was, as Sarah was talking this morning, she was saying God looks on the inside of us. He wants to start on the inside of us. When he starts on the inside of us, the outside is being revealed because the inside is being fine. And that's why you must receive. And I tell everybody, if you don't, everybody, I know God, stop lying. You don't know God. I do know God. I have to prove it to me. What you mean prove it to you? See, you got to know that Jesus said this. He said, no man gets to come out of except he comes by me.
That's it.
So everything Christ in the price for us. So I'm gonna let y'all go on into the talking. Praise it. I'm having fun listening to y'all talk. Oh Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'll pop the call where you have anything to say?
Ma'am?
I was talking to Apostle Caldwell. Do you have something to say, Apostle Caldwell? Hello?
I think I put it on mute. Let me put it back on.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk to him.
Apostle Caldwell.
Yes, ma'am.
You have anything to say?
Thank you for the opportunity of allowing me the privilege of joining you on this evening. Thank God for you, and thank God for your program. I'm sitting here. I've been listening. I've tuned in for the last half hour. It's quite educational, and I really enjoy hearing both speakers this evening. There was a mention regarding generational curses, and the ability that we have to understand the word. The Bible declares that we will perish for lack of knowledge. And we have an obligation to not only read the Bible, but to study it. I enjoy what the woman of God said about it. You're not going to have the power and the faith that you need if you don't stay in the word daily. I totally agree with that. I'm glad she mentioned that because it's an essential practice in order for us to be able to continue to walk in not only in our faith but in the Spirit of God. We have to be constantly sit and feed at the table of knowledge, and we have to put ourselves in a position of what is called a spiritual discipline. And one of the things that she also mentioned was her craving of food. I totally agree with you there. I have the same problem. I happen to like food. And I'm not picky. I'm not a picky eater either, as many are. I don't have a problem with greens or fried chicken. Go ahead. Send it on over here. I also have a real weakness for chocolate. So I feel you, sister. I feel you. The thing that I connected that to is when we sit down to the table of the word, and we also have a smorgasbord in the word of God that we can sit there and enjoy as well, if we so choose. It's a choice to understand the word. You either understand it and you live it, or you make the choice to read it and not live it. It's a choice.
That's
right. And generational curses are not related to familiar curses. They're two different things. The generational curse is passed down generation to generation, but a familiar spirit is one that is attached to you off that curse.
Come on.
And what we do, what a lot of people don't understand is, many times you can go to the doctor. One thing that she mentioned about smoking, another thing about alcoholism. Neither one of those are an attached unclean spirit. They're generational curses. Alcoholism usually runs in a family, like high blood pressure. Prophetess Denise, you said that you don't suffer from high blood pressure, but it runs in your family. I'm going to stand in agreement with that. It runs in my family too, but I don't suffer from it. And one of the reasons why we don't is because as an individual, we make the choice not to. As an individual, the choice is ours not to operate in a spirit that has condemned and corrupted our family tree, our family history. It's in our blood. It's not it. The curse is in the bloodline, but the spirit isn't. The spirit takes over at the time that you turn your life over. The woman of God also mentioned something about we are created in his likeness. Yes, we are,
That's true.
We make the choice is ours to live in his likeness. So we have a choice.
Thank you, Jesus.
So when you make that choice and that decision, not only to live in his likeness, you cannot be in the curse of the generational family. You've taken on a different bloodline.
Yes.
Let me stop there because I feel like preaching now. Thank you for the opportunity. And I really enjoyed what I was listening to tonight because it gave me some food to work on for Sunday. So
Amen.
I got my belly fat now. I'm ready to go. But it's I appreciate that. That was some very good learning. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Dr. Hunter, you want to close out?
Well, let me ask you this here. The young lady that just finished, Apostle who now?
Caldwell.
Spell it, please.
C-A-L. Go ahead.
The Caldwell.
C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L.
Okay. Are you local? Are you from New York? Are you from California? Are you from?
I'm out here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
I love it.
I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, sir.
Okay. Well,
Amen.
I just want to, and you can call me. I may want to see if I can get you hooked up to one of these programs.
Amen.
I would be honored. I'd be honored.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you my email address, williejhunter@yahoo.com.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I tell you, one of the nights I was saying to the young lady that was on there, she was an astute young lady with the word of God. And I want to tell you, tonight is the night I spent daughter. I was blessed. I'm not going to get upset. And I sit there and I listen at the Apostle Caldwell. I said, she cutting that chicken real good. And see, I'm a chicken lover.
Let me tell you, we can fry some chicken now.
Okay, just give me the five.
Don't make me no difference. Give me any of them.
To God be the glory.
Yes, well, I want to thank you all, and I'll see you next Wednesday night. In the meantime, you get in contact with me, and we're going to talk about something.
Sir.
God, amen,
yes,
and
sir.
Praise.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, you going to close out? Hello?
Hello?
Pastor Hunter, you going to Prophet Hunter?
Go ahead.
Okay. We're gonna close out in a minute.
I hear the word prophecy. Somebody has a prophecy to give.
That was
my.
Caldwell.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give us that prophecy. Go on. Do it.
Melinda?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a prophecy?
I thought he said Prophet Caldwell.
He did.
Okay,
no.
Prophet Caldwell, you have a prophecy.
Somebody
you got a word of Prophet
My
Caldwell?
God. Go ahead now. She mentioned Cain. We're going to talk about it. The Spirit of the Lord has been dealing with me all day. I've been traveling all day. In fact, I was in Richmond, Virginia for the last 2 days, and I traveled all the way home to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me on the road at 2 o'clock this morning and said to me to tell my people that the assassination attempts on the body of Christ has come to a stop. There are many that are under the assassination of Cain and Abel. They're operating in the spirit of Cain and Abel. The body of Christ has been sitting in a season of death, and it's because of jealousy that has come over the body of Christ from the lack of understanding and the lack of knowledge of the word, because people get to the place to where they feel so bad in their spirit that they just don't want to study. It's not a slumber time, but it's a time of depression. It's spiritual depression. But the Holy Spirit said to me at 2 o'clock this morning, tell my people that time has come to a close. That door has closed. It is no more. The body of Christ is now risen. And it's time now for the people of God to come back into the understanding that not only has the body come back to life, but that there is life in the body. So those of you, Prophetess Denise Minkins, and the other young lady, the prophecy to you both is that there's healing in your body, but you've got to speak life to that dead situation and tell it to come back and stand up. God is breathing in your life.
Now.
He's breathing in your situation.
Come on.
He's already poured his spirit out on all flesh.
Come on, God.
And he said, whosoever call on my name shall be saved. I took that word literally because we're not saved until we're redeemed. But when you become redeemed, you've got to be saved. And the Bible declares that at the point of redemption, there has to be new life. So the body's got to come back to life after redemption.
Yes.
That you got to understand what the purpose of the cross is. You've already carried your cross because you have come to the point where you had to die on that cross in order to be redeemed. So you've had to turn your flesh over. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
So when he poured his spirit out on your flesh, the cross itself had to be finished. The redemption took place. Now you have no choice but to be redeemed. You have no choice but to walk in faith. You have no choice but to be healed. You have no choice but to be covered in the blood, because you have accepted at the redemption of your cross.
Yes.
Woo, God.
Yes.
Thank it God. Is so. It is so.
Yes.
The redemption is here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your cross has been laid down. Now
Thank
it's time
Jesus.
To come out of the grave and come back to life.
Thank you, Jesus.
So
Thank
the
you,
situation
Jesus.
You thought was dead is now alive, because you're walking in that place where God has given you instruction to walk. So those things that seem like they were dead and you gave up on them, go back and tell that thing, stand up and work. Stand up and operate. Stand up. I command it by the faith that I walk in.
Thank you.
Nah.
When you begin to walk in the authority of the word, nothing can stop you.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
You have divine favor no matter where you are, because you're operating in the authority of the word of God.
Lord, thank you.
So while you're studying the word, while you're getting the word, while you're looking in the root of the word, you're standing in the soil that is the foundation of the word. You're standing in that dirt. So you don't have any choice but to operate according to where you're standing. You're looking at the situation. You know what it is. So if it's whatever is going bad, you say, "The Lord rebuke you." I don't rebuke nothing. And I don't. I cannot. I don't have the authority to rebuke anything in my name. So I say, "The Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus." You've got to stop, and you've got to stand up, and you've got to pay attention to what I'm telling you. The Word said, "I shall live and not die." The Word said, "By His stripes I am healed." The Word said, "I am redeemed by the blood." The Word said, "I am alive because of the grace." The Word said, "I shall stand." Watch that situation turn around. Watch it work. Watch it turn around. It cannot keep you from where you're going. Your destiny is on the other side of that dead situation. Your destiny is on the other side of that tombstone.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thus saith the Lord. Amen, amen and amen.
Amen. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for the
your word.
Word,
Lord. The word. Thank you for the word.
Thank you for the desire
that we have to obtain your word and to live your word and to enjoy your word, Father. I just thank you for it. I thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'm here. All right. Oh, I want you to know, I thank God. I thank God. What God has. I'm a man that listens to the Lord. And would you read the text I sent to you, Dr. Minikin? Teacher, prophetess.
What?
Read the text I sent to you.
You just sent it to me?
Yeah, I sent it to you.
You said, wow. You said, have the apostles to contact you? Okay, I will.
Okay.
I will.
Because I know that what God is doing, and I see what God has used you to hook some other people in North Carolina.
Amen.
So,
that's my baby's godmother. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I know.
I am beyond grateful. Let me tell you something, Dr. Hunter. I'm going to tell you something that I don't know if you know it or not. I don't know if it's been mentioned or not, but I am an absolute living miracle. I was supposed to have died in December. I said I was supposed to have died. HAVE, past tense.
I know, past tense.
I was supposed to have died. But BUT, there's a big, that word, if you break it down, that big word, BUT, if you break it down, it says, but God. This is the thing. I was in a car accident in October, and my neck was broken in three places. I was operating and functioning for 2 months, not knowing I had a broken neck. But the first thing that they told me when they operated on me in December, I had to sign a form that my husband would not sue the hospital in the event of my death on the table, because the first risk of the surgery was death. I had seven crushed vertebrae, and the one vertebrae in your neck, which is the C2 vertebrae, the C3 and C4 were completely severed. You cannot function. Nobody in medical history has ever lived through a C2 surgery. I have lived through the C2 surgery. And not only that, I was supposed to be a paraplegic. I'm telling you today that I am walking, I'm talking, I'm preaching, I'm functioning, and I drove 800 miles this week, and it's only Wednesday. Not supposed to even be able to do that. But when the doctor came on my last visit, which was 3 weeks ago, he said to me, "I can't understand what I'm seeing because the bones in my neck have completely regenerated themselves and reattached."
Jesus.
There's nothing in my neck that they can find was ever broken.
That was Jesus. That is Jesus.
Because
I
stand in the foundation of the word that I preach.
Thank
How you. Can I preach faith and not live it.
Amen.
That's only a part of the testimony, but that's what the Lord has me to release you at this time. Because what he wants us to understand, no matter what operation, no matter what office that we operate in, I am an apostle and I am a bishop. It doesn't matter. Those two things don't even matter. But you cannot, under any condition, profess the word of God and not believe it if you want to see work, if you want to see a miracle.
Amen.
If you
want
to see a miracle, you've got to know that the word is real. You can't just quote scriptures. You've got to learn how to operate in that faith. You can't lay down and say, okay, somebody, let's fix this problem and not wonder if you're going to wake up or not. When I went into that hospital and they laid me down on that bed, and the doctors came and prayed around me, the anesthesiologist, they came and prayed around me. The one man took a hold of my hand. I had more needles in me than I looked like a radio. They had so many electronics that were hooked onto me. They had all kinds of syringes, and where they were giving me, I had lost so much blood, they thought I was going to die on the table. So they put this great big IV in my foot, and then they fed blood through it because that's the only place they could find a vein. It was that bad. And then they had to take and they had to move everything in my neck over, all my vocal cords. My voice box is bruised. Everything was moved over and swollen to this day. It's still swollen. I'm not even supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be still for another year. I said, no, I can't be still for another year. I've got too much work to do. But you see, the Bible had already declared to me that by his stripes I was healed. I had to know that before I even laid down on that table in order to get off of it, somebody.
That's right.
To know that when we lay down, that God is going to use us. How can you prophesy that that God has given you instruction to do something in 2018 when you did in 2017?
You can't do it.
You cannot stand up and prophesy. The Lord told me this in 2017, what's going to happen in 2018, and you did in 2017. That would make me a false prophet. I can't do that. If I don't believe that God is more than able to pull me out of something that I'm going to die in, then what sense does it make for me to even prophesy for 2018?
Come on.
Ooh, we got to stop second-guessing ourselves, people of God.
That's
stop second-guessing yourself. Just because a doctor says you're sick don't mean you're going to die, people of God. Just because he finds something on the x-ray don't mean that it's going to be there when they do the next x-ray, people of God. Just because they see something on the MRI don't mean that you are sick, people of God.
No.
They might see something that's not really there.
That's right. Say it again.
We got to believe in our faith. We got to know who we are in God rather than what the doctor says. Whose report are you going to believe?
Now,
report of the Lord. Report of the Lord.
I know that's a fact. I know because of my journey I'm going through now. You right.
Jesus.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. All of this came to me at 2 o'clock this morning. I'm running down I-95 from Virginia. I had a pickup truck and a U-Haul follow me because I moved one of the members of my church. And this is so incredible that the Holy Spirit spoke to me at this hour. I am behind an 18-wheeler, and I'm looking at all these lights on the back of this truck. I said, Lord, that truck looks like a Christmas tree. And all of a sudden, all the lights went off, and across the door, the lights came on across the back of the doors of this 18-wheeler, and it was a cross.
Oh.
And he said, pick up your cross and follow me. I stayed behind that 18-wheeler for 500 miles.
There you go.
I stayed behind that baby for 500 miles. I said, I'm following this cross. That's the only place I can see because there was no lights out on I-95. I couldn't see nothing else but that cross, so I followed it. Somebody catch this. When you get your eyes on that cross, no matter how dark it is, you're going to learn how to follow it.
You're going to see it. You're going to see it. That's right.
You're going to see that cross.
You will.
I don't care how dark that grave is. You're going to know that there's a cross in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
Whew. And you're going to follow.
I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. He said, now tell my people to follow the cross and quit worrying about the darkness that they're in.
Jesus.
I said, yes, Lord. And the funny thing about that cross is it was in red lights. The cross was red lights. I said, that's significant. He said, that cross is covered in my blood. So as long as they got their eyes on that cross and they know that my blood is on that cross, they're following me, and they're covered in my blood.
Amen.
Exactly.
I got to stop, y'all. I feel like preaching.
Yeah, because we didn't look. We didn't went over all the time. It's 8:15.
I'm sorry.
Stop at 8.
I'm sorry.
Now, what you see, the owner of the radio station is listening. I ain't moved, so go on do what you're doing.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Hunt. I had to release that. Thank you all. That now I can sleep tonight. I had to release it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I had to get that thing off of me because I told my bishop when I got home today. I said this thing is so significant. If the people of God have got to get it, they got to get it. They got to get. I said I got to spit this thing out. And he said, "What happened, baby?" And I told him what happened. And he said, "Lord Jesus, I'm glad my wife is home."
I know he was. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad my wife is home. He said, because I see, I see, I see. That's all he kept saying was, I see. I see the faith you walk in. I see the operation of the word. When you get to the point to where you don't know anything but prophetess Meekins, you don't know nothing but the word. All you can see in a situation where it's like, what in the world is going on? But the word said. But the word said,
but
you got to speak the word in every situation that you don't understand what is going
on.
What's happening? Jesus told the storm in the boat to peace be still, and the storm had to stop. We got to learn how to tell that storm, peace be still. I don't care how much chaos is going on in your life. You've got to learn how to speak peace be still in order to get for that chaos to stop in your life.
That's right. That's right.
You got to take authority over it.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And then people are going to look at you like, who in the world is that? I'm a child of the living God. Who are you? I'm a child of the living God. I know how to stop a storm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I work in it. I work in that faith. Yes. I operate in that faith. I don't know nothing else. When you're redeemed, you don't know nothing else. There is a history and there is a past, but it cannot go into your future because the redemption of the blood of Jesus does not permit the sin to continue and the corruption to continue in your future. You've got one way to go. You got to follow the cross.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if you can't follow the cross, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just hold on. Another person, I'm going to see if I can bring them on. Hello, are you there?
Yes, sir. What number are you calling or watching?
I'm calling you. This is Brendan Lipscomb. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I know it's showing a strange number. So Good evening. I am so excited. About what I've been hearing. I haven't heard everything because I came in and went out and came in and went out. But I can tell you this here. I thank God for hearing the last remarks because I was going to talk about faith. And hear her talk about faith, I'm just going to say something briefly. And in my saying is a testimony. The Lord knows that in Hebrews it says the now faith. That means right now. You don't have to wait, but you should have it right now. But so faith is the substance. You should have faith. You know, you should have a solid rock belief in whatever it is. And so my testimony is this. Sometimes, and I heard her talk about the bolsterous sea, sometimes I am in a rocky situation where I am moving back and forth with no purpose and no direction because
that's
I can't
it.
Hear. I can't hear. I know the word, but I'm not hearing the word, and I'm not applying the word to my situation because I am wavering in my faith. But when the Lord brings me back on course, he works those things out so that I can have the faith to believe what it is that you pray for. So if you're praying for something and God
yes.
answers your prayer and you have the faith to believe and to wait, you cannot hurry God. That's what the old folks say. Well, it is
yes.
true because God is going to move when he wants to move, and
that's
he's
right.
going to prepare you for the test that you need. So part
yes.
of my testimony is on August the 2nd, 2017, my son was arrested in Lake Charles. Well, he was, I understand he was arrested in Sulphur, Louisiana. He was housed or taken to Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is their county jail. And they had him on $370,000 bond. And
woo.
I said, my Lord, did I rock and waver and was I on that bolster seat? Yes, I was. Did I cry? I cried many a night. And I had to keep saying, God, restore my faith. I was asking Dr. Hunt and everybody I knew, pray. And then sometimes I'd get up on the mountaintop and I'd be just fine. And like they say, the enemy would come along and knock you off. You got to understand, sometimes you can be knocked off. When you walk around so very strong and think can't nothing happen to you because you got faith, you're going to be tested. And so
yes.
then we went for in January the 18th. Now, they held him from August the 2nd to January the 18th for a hearing to reduce the bond. When they reduced the bond, they reduced it down to $125,000. Oh, that's nice. You know, $125,000 and you charge 15% instead of 10%. Okay, that's nice. You know, but many years ago when my son was getting in trouble, the Lord told me that it won't be mama, it won't be mama's money, and it won't be man that gets you out of trouble. It's going to be a God thing. So
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you that my son, all these years later, reminded me of those words. Just Monday. And so he was in the jail with 14 counts of different things. On Monday of this week, we had to be back in court. And I had them change it because we were supposed to be back in February, but I had them change it. I wanted them to change it to May. They wouldn't give me May. They gave me March. So I went to court with my son on March the 12th, Monday. I want you to know that God, not man, because this is the first time that my son has been locked up that I have not ran with my money to bond him out. I have not ran with my money to bond him out or pay for an attorney. And the Lord had been telling me, keep your hands off the situation with your child. So mm-hmm. then God had to move me out the way to make
mm-hmm.
a change in my son.
Mm-hmm.
When I picked up faith again regarding his situation, I want to tell you on Monday, they dismissed 12 of those charges.
Mm.
They dismissed them. And they only charged him with two things. And he's already served 8 months, which is a year plus, because it's 2 days for one. He turned down. I'm trying to tell him, oh, son, take the 4, you know, because they offered him 4 years. He's already done a year. He was only have to do about a year and 3 months more. I'm trying to tell him to take the 3 months. I want to tell you what God can do, because any other time, my son would have took a settlement like that. But he turned it down and told them that he wanted to go to the rehab program that I have found. I want you to know that that is the first time in my son's soon-to-be 35 years that he has wanted to do something positive. So what I'm saying is, when I left him alone and went to God for him and had others going to God for him, it has changed him. Even the tone of his letters that he write me has changed. Mm-hmm. He was sincerely praying. You know what? Because I could not aid and obey him like I always have done. You know, so like I say, God moved me, and I had to stand on the word of God. I had to exercise my faith, and I had to believe that God can do it, and for me to accept what God allowed. And so, like I said, on Monday, he's going to a program. And so I have to go back to Lake Charles. I get to pick him up and take him to the facility.
Okay.
And then on July 5th, he goes back. He's going to receive a positive report, and they probably or they will dismiss or call it over. You know,
it's going to be disposed.
Yes.
It will be so disposed of.
It will be. Thank you, Jesus.
It will be. It is. It's already done.
It's already disposed of. It is done. But
it is
God
done.
Brought him to his knees, and he brought me to my knees. And so it just says that you got to let the word of God, perfect will in you. You can't play with God and say,
"That's right."
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The enemy knew the word.
Yes,
he did. Quote the scripture
better than you.
So how am I just going to quote something and don't stand on it? But then I didn't beat myself up about it, because I went to Genesis some more. And I read about Abraham and stuff again. I thought about it. You know, he trusted God to leave his home and his dad and everything. But when he got in the foreign land, he didn't trust God to protect him, and he lied about who his wife was. I say, now, if you trusted God to leave your home, how come you got to lie and tell that your wife is your sister in order? Why did you fear? Why did you not continue to trust God? And so I always have to do an inventory of myself. I love to use the illustration. Take a ruler stick, a yardstick, and see where you really are, where you measure up. You know, you say you are here, you're there, but when the test and the boisterous sea come against you, you waver. But I thank God that his hand reaches where I cannot go.
Yes.
And his hand reaches and does what I cannot do. I collect my faith and put it where it needs to be. Because it says, now faith. It's right here. But you're not looking at the faith. You're not looking at the cross. You're not looking at the blood. You're looking at circumstances. Don't you know that there is nothing that God can't handle? And he will show you. He will make man behave. He will make man do what he don't want to do. When we first went in January, the prosecutor did not want to accept my son going into this same program. But on Monday, March the 12th, he said yes. And then the judge, they always try to intimidate you. He said, do you know that I can give you 30 years and $52,000 fine? He said, do you know for the other charge that I can give you up to 10 years and $10,000 charge? My son said, yes, sir. And he said, and you still willing to go to this program? He said, yes, sir. The judge said, all right, go. I grant it for you to go. And he said, you know what? When you come back in July, you'll have your birthday party, because his birthday is July 8th. He got to go to court on July 5th. The judge already spoke it, and I thank you for confirming it. He said, you'll have your birthday present. So to me, his hearing you say his birthday present is just like you just said. It's going to be all over. It's done. You know, he's not going to have to do any more time or anything else. Because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's done. It's finished with. My faith has kicked in. I believe in the prayers that have gone forth. The prayers of the righteous have gone forth. And this situation has been worked out. And God showed me this miracle. Because like I said, he had a court-appointed attorney. And everybody say, never have a court-appointed attorney. This court appointed her attorney worked.
Amen.
And that's because God had his hand on the situation. And it wasn't when I was ready for him to get out. It was ready for when God was ready for him to get out.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And and God had to push me back. He had to take my financial situation and make it and put it in a place that I could not do anything. I even went, and I don't even know why. I questioned myself today. Why did you move out your house? Why did you try to sell? Why are you trying to sell your house? You're telling everybody, oh, no, I'm not going to invest any money in them this time. So the enemy, and I say the enemy because I realize that now, has made me put my house up for sale, but it's going to work for my good.
You,
the devil meant it for bad. He meant it for
but
evil.
God meant it for
but
good.
God's going to turn it around and do it for my good.
It's already turned
and
around.
And right now,
I'm
struggling a little bit because I got to pay a mortgage and I got to pay a storage and I still have to pay utilities on an empty house. But God's going to show me how he can bless me double. For my trouble.
For your trouble.
Like Job.
Amen.
He's going to do it. And
amen.
I believe it. And you know what I've been telling everybody? I'm going to tell y'all. And when it happens, I'll be back on here with another testimony. I said, God's going to sell my house within 3 months, and I'm going to get the money that I want. They're not going to shortcut me. My ex-husband tried to sneak and buy it last year, at the end of last year. And he had God exposed him. God exposed him.
And he will
and
do
so
that.
I backed out of the deal, you know. Don't bring me no deal, you know. And don't ask me to cash a check that does not have my name on it. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? I told that realtor some things. Have you lost your mind? He wanted me to cash a check with my ex-husband's name on it.
No.
No.
Yes, realtor. The realtor.
That's not a God.
If I tell you God is awesome, I'm telling you.
Yes.
I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt. And God had to take me through this, that I would get the attitude also. There's nothing too hard for my
God.
I say it, and I teach it. But when I'm faced with it myself, I lose my faith sometimes. Should never lose my faith. But I want you to know, and I make no excuse that I am human and I can make mistakes. Sure, I'm born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So absolutely the enemy is going to use me. I am a God's woman. I am called of God, not man. And so, you know, what happens is that they want to take God's glory away from my situation. But God shows up. Hallelujah. God shows up.
Yes,
and shows
thank you,
them.
Jesus.
He shows the world that I am an anointed woman for God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just wanted to share that. I just want to, hallelujah. I want to give God
glory
all
to
the
your name,
praise
oh God.
And the honor.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And then
yes,
get onto the station tonight and hear you say about the rocky sea and to hear you say about looking at the cross and remember what Jesus done for me. Why should I doubt? Why should I waver? That same cross, that same blood still has power. Wonder-working power. And it worked on Monday. The prayers of the righteous.
Righteous of David, my
$370,000 down to $125,000 down to zero. 14
that
chargers
God.
Down to
that
two.
God.
I want you to know he's an awesome God. I just want to tell you, and it took faith. It took my faith to kick in that God got this situation. And then for my son to remind me, Mama, do you remember when you said it won't be man, it won't be mama, it won't be mama's money, and it won't be man?
He's called a prophet. He's called the prophet in the prison. This is not a mistake. God don't make mistakes. This is a season. It's the first for you. It's a season of obedience, but for him, it's a season for his prophetic to be manifested. His prophetic. He's operating
Jesus.
In a prophetic. He's been talking in prison about the situation that he has gone through. He is known as the prophet in prison. And the prophet in prison is the prophet that is in bondage. But when he comes out and he's exonerated, it's going to be 12 months that he's going to be operating as a prophet in a freedom. He's a prophet out of prison, so he'll be a prophet in freedom. But watch what God does in 2 years. 24 is the establishment because the church takes 12 months. He's the establishment of the new church. And what God is doing in him is it's going to take 2 years. So that's 24. 24 months is the establishment of the prophet that has been broken from bondage of prison. Now watch what God does. The governor is going to give him his exoneration. The government is going to expound on all his records are going to be cleaned up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
The government, the governor is going to give him a pardon in 2 years.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
His
God.
Record
Thank
is going to be completely null and void in 2 years. There won't be anything to show for.
Thank you. Glory to God.
It's an expungement of records. It's an expungement of records because the job that is waiting for him is going to require those records to be expunged. But God is going to use that prophet. That man of God is going to be a mouthpiece.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I said going to be
Thank
because
you,
he's in training
Thank
now.
You,
God is using
Thank
him in
you,
prison
Jesus.
Now in training. When he comes out and he's free, he will
Thank
be
you,
the prophet
Jesus.
That God is training him in now. The Holy Spirit
Thank
is showing
you,
him things. Stay off
Thank
of him, Mother. Stay away from him. Leave him alone. Let God do what he's got to do.
You,
Let him finish the job.
Lord. Yes,
Thank
God.
You,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Word,
Thank
you,
Lord.
For
and
word.
I just want to confirm, I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. I've been ripping and running, and I couldn't get here on the radio like I was supposed to. But time is God's
God
time,
has his
not my
time.
You know, so I got on to hear the word confirmation, and I don't know your name, but let me tell you this here. When my son was young, I don't know how old he was, so I'm not going to try to lie. I just know that he was very young. somewhere between 5 and 10, the prophet came to my house, and she saw him sitting up on the stairs, and she looked up, and she said, "He's called of God."
Thank you, Jesus.
He's called of God. So I know that the things down through the years that have been happening to him is because God is getting him ready. And there's no such thing as running. But, you know, God is preparing him. And it took all these years for him to hear the word. He was reading it, but he always reads his Bible. He always. But that's not enough to read it.
That's
not
right.
Enough. Not enough.
Oh my God. My God.
But for
he
you
hears the word
he
and he knows the word.
Yes.
He's speaking it. He's speaking it now.
My God.
He hears it. He understands it. And he's speaking it now because he's living in it now.
My God.
He's
God,
living the word
God.
Now. It's manifesting
you,
to
Jesus.
Him while he's behind bars.
My God.
He's known as
thank
the prophet
you,
because he's a witness to the prisoners. He's showing them how
thank
to get through it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's
thank
preaching
you,
in jail.
My Lord, my Lord.
He don't even know it. He's preaching in jail. He's establishing the church in jail. He's establishing the church in prison.
My Lord. Thank
that's
you,
that's
Jesus.
Why he has favor with God and with the court now. They can't touch him.
Amen.
Because the anointing is on him. The anointing from prison is on him. And the system cannot touch that anointing. The Bible declares, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. They can't do nothing to him because God has already spoken. God's already spoken. He's already in place.
Thank you, woman of God. Thank you.
It's already done.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Amen.
It's already
thank
done.
You, Lord. Amen.
Yes.
We got about 3 minutes left. I want to say this. If you would look at my face tonight, you would have seen I said tonight is going to be an exciting night. Because God is going to do something. Sometimes God has a way, most times God has a way, and I will say this to you,
yes, sir, I'm listening.
God has already, we talked about it, God has already, the prophet came, there were two witnesses. We said it on the radio, off the radio, and on the radio.
Yes.
Two witnesses, though. The record is being put aside. But I want to thank this woman tonight that I invited on, that I invited to be a part of the program, Prophetess Minkin. Will you close out?
Minkin. Yes. I'm going to close out now. I just want to thank everybody who was on the line. I mean, it truly blessed me. It just truly blessed. And I just thank God for each and everybody and that y'all have a blessed week. Now to him that is able to keep us from failing and from falling, let his love rest, rule, and abide in our hearts and in our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Don't forget
God bless everybody.